You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yeah, well, I guess at the moment, you know, I've only just been watching what's been coming on TV and National position. I'm saddened by the whole ordeal. I think National is obviously doing its best. We're a year out from an election. They're doing their best to speak directly to their voters, and so it's something I expect. I'm not convinced that Simon Bridges was being genuine with his comments over the last couple of days. I watched his interview on Breakfast today, and I wasn't completely convinced of how genuine he was in this commitment. I think this is going to be something that will reflect poorly on the Labor Party in the end, because what they've done by introducing the armed respondent or armed response team, which is going to have, you know, armed police officers patrolling the streets of Manukau at the moment, is they've opened the door to this particular policy, which is going to have these organised gang raptor groups or whatever they are, from similar to what's happening in Australia at the moment. And that's going to, I think the Labor Party will reflect on allowing the police to have the armed response teams is going to be what opened the door to National's policy. So I think the politicians need to work it out amongst themselves as to who's taking what stand. Are we going to be a compassionate, caring, well-being driven type society, or are we just going to get tough on crime? And at the moment, we're seeing both of them work essentially in conjunction with one another to establish policy that in the long run will be detrimental, especially to Māori and Pacific communities.
So just the proposals themselves isolated, what do you think about them? I wouldn't suppose you'd agree with much of them, but are you against all of them?
Well, I haven't read them in their entirety, but I do think it's important that we understand the gangs. I do accept that there has been gang activity over the years that needs to be cracked down on, and we should be working on that. But I'm not convinced that this is the ultimate way to go. And from the evidence that we've seen in Australia with what they've done with the bikie gangs, that represent, from reports that I've seen, represent less than 1% of crime and gang activity in Australia. You've got over 500 police officers committed to working and to disrupting them. I find it irreconcilable. You can't have those numbers of police trying to crack down and disrupt gangs. If we're going to disrupt gang activity here in New Zealand, what we should be disrupting is the level of poverty that our young people are experiencing every day. When they're falling out of the school system, it means that they're ripe for gangs to pick them up, and you dry up gang potential young people joining them by making sure that they succeed in society. So if we've got a schooling system that works, if we've got jobs that are waiting for them, if we've got family structures that are sound and supportive, then we're going to see an end to the need for gangs. But I don't see this policy as going in with police officers and trying to disrupt them the way they have been in Australia as working.
Speaking of Australia, they're proposing a response unit that's modelled after this strike force Raptor from New South Wales, cracking down on specifically on gangs. Do you actually think this could be effective, or do you see it as headline flash?
Well, I think it's headline flash, and it will be very effective to that end. What we've seen in Australia, we've had the lawyer who's been on Radio New Zealand talking about his experiences and representing people who've been needlessly had their houses raided and been charged for all sorts of low-level things as a way for the police to gain access to them. Look, I think at all levels, policing should be looking at what's going on that's going to ensure that we've got a safe, livable, resilient society. That's the role of the police, is to protect everybody. Focusing solely on gangs, in my view, at this time, in our history, is a waste of resource. Look, we've got millions of dollars that isn't paid in taxes, for goodness sake. We don't see special groups set up by the police to assist the Inland Revenue in finding those people. So there's a complete imbalance here. And just saying that if you're going to have a gang patch, you know, part of National's policy is you're not allowed to wear a gang patch in society or on the streets. That's what's visible. What we need to be looking at is what's going on underneath all of that. And it's not just gang activity that's causing crime and causing misery in New Zealand. There's a whole range of activities that's causing that level of misery. And the police should be focusing on a wide range of things. focusing solely on gangs and getting tough on crime and all of that rhetoric only speaks to a base of certain voters that National will need to win government. I think we can do better as a nation.
I was just going to say they're calling this, they're using the term a war on gangs. They're using very strong rhetoric. And you said that this isn't the right approach. What would you say, or what would you rather see as an approach that they'd take when dealing with this?
Well, I would. My preference would be let's understand what's causing young people to look to gangs in the first place. We have to take preventative measures. And the reason why young people are looking to gangs in the first place is because they need friendship, food, a sense of camaraderie, and somewhere where they can belong. And as long as mainstream society is rejecting these young people, then gangs are going to be at the forefront of what's an option available to them. And it just entices people to crime, because we know that if you're not in a job, if you're not working, if you're not able to feel like you're participating, then you'll turn to the group and to the structure that's going to do just that for you. Look, when I studied youth gangs about 10 years ago, what was really interesting was we had the youth development strategy that had been released some years earlier. And if you look at the gang structures, it matched exactly what was in the youth development strategy. They wanted the big picture. They needed a sense of understanding how structures work. They needed a place to feel like they belong, and they needed somewhere where they could find camaraderie. All of that is found in the youth development strategy, was what was being expressed in the gangs. And so what we've got to do is we've got to cap them at their needs. We've got to take them out at their needs and ensure that young people are being fed, they've got jobs, they're in families that are well supported, there's money at home so that everybody can eat, there's a stable place for them to stay. Those are the structures that gangs provide, but they should not be the function of the gangs. Those are the structures that our families, good friends, mentors, even the church should be providing. And the church has been very quiet on this, and the church, that I think one of the functions of the church in New Zealand is to provide that level of support. And whilst they're too busy looking at offerings and building bigger churches that no one's attending, what we should be doing is looking at how the church can run youth programs. It's just going to support young people to fulfilling their full potential.
They've mentioned revoking parole for association with gangs. I'm having trouble understanding what they mean by association. Do you know what the qualifiers for that is?
Yeah, no, I don't. I had, interestingly though, I had one of the guys who's a youth worker in South Auckland rang me, and he said, look, in a way, I'm kind of associated to the gangs because I'm trying to help my young people get out of the gangs. So I'm associated. My father was an ex-gang person, and I'm trying to liaise between them. So I was thinking, well, does that mean if something happened to this intermediary that I work with who's working with young people, is he going to be in trouble? Should he get in trouble later on? So I have absolutely no understanding of what they mean by this. I think all it does is feed to the rhetoric of we're getting tough on them, we'll fine them, we will smoke them out. It reminds me of what George Bush, that kind of language, said. And this isn't the way to go. Look, I think our society has moved on. Many of us grow up. We have a generation of young people who grow up, and we understand what poverty looks like for different parts and sectors of society. As a result of that level of poverty, we know that people will turn to the gangs. We turn to all sorts of things. The question is, how are we going to help them? And all National is doing with this particular policy is just coming out and getting hard on crime so that their voters think, okay, cool, we've got it black and white. These are such grey issues, and they need that type of an approach.
So they've laid out these proposals, they've got them all there. They're very harsh and strong. Is there anything you've seen that you'd consider possibly unethical?
Not at this stage, not as far as saying it's unethical. Look, I think if people sat down and thought better, I think there's probably some things in that plan that might be workable. But if you're just torn, you know, if we're just going to focus on the hard on crime, then perhaps some of the good ideas that they have in there, and I haven't read their entire document, but perhaps some of the good ideas they have in there are going to be missed out because the focus will be on the hard on crime parts of their policy. And what we need, it's a good opportunity for everyone to sit down. We've got people who work with youth gangs all the time. Let's sit down and see what they're saying, and let's make this policy work. And this goes back to the fickle thinking that we get into because we're in 3-year political cycles, and we're a year out from the election, and we know that this is the kind of language that's going to be pushed out by parts of the community or parts of political parties so that they can shore up their vote.
In the announcement, there's a sense of panic they seem to be trying to convey. Simon Bridges stated that gang numbers are increasing significantly. Is there anything about this that holds true, or is it just sort of same old language and rhetoric that would normally be used before an election?
I would tend to agree with him on that, that we have seen an increase in the numbers of people joining the gang. But what you've got to do before, just on that analysis alone, is why are they turning to the gangs in the first instance? And one way to deal with it is the way that he's proposing, which is to get tough on gangs. Another way to deal with it is to starve them dry of the opportunities that they present. And again, if they've got food and camaraderie and friendship to offer to young people, we need to make sure that we as a society are giving that to young people. And that's going to starve them with membership. They don't need them. Look, I know that there's attempts by the mongrel mob and Waikato have been trying to show that they're doing some good things too. And I think there's parts within gangs that are really trying their best to turn the tide for themselves and make sure that they are family, community-oriented. And I understand that I used to work with the Black Power down in Lower Hutt. I did some work with them about 15 years ago. So I know that many of them want to be there for their children and make sure that their children have a future. Even in the research that I conducted 10 years ago, a lot of these gang members were saying, I don't want this life for my boys. I don't want this life for my son. And they were looking to us for ways to work out solutions on how to keep them out of gangs. And that's where we need to have the conversation. Let's be honest with one another. Yep, there's going to be a level of gang activity that's going to need prison. And I accept that. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is how do we keep our boys from this life? And that's the end of the spectrum that I think the government and any government that wants to be in power should be focusing on.
Just before I leave you, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Other than it disappoints me because, you know, I'm a local government politician with a youth development background, and I get that here we go again feeling because I've been so upset that my own party, the Labour Party, have allowed armed response teams to be sent out into South Auckland, and now, you know, just the growth of this thinking is the Nationals' policies, and this is not good thinking. This is not sound youth development thinking, taking a strength-based approach. This is just let's get tough, let's put them away, and we've got prisons that are burgeoning at the seams, filled with young Māori and Pacific men, and that is wasted human potential, human capacity, and those young men could be able to serve and support our communities, but we've got to do better as a society to making sure that everyone feels like they belong.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.